Saints, I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's start hymn 45. It's E flat. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting. Oh yes, leaning, oh leaning, oh safe and secure from all. Oh hallelujah, leaning, oh yes, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows through day to day, leaning on the everlasting. I am lean, oh, I am lean, oh, yes, safe and secure from all. Oh, hallelujah, leaning, lean, oh, yes, leaning on the everlasting. Oh, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting. Oh, yes, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting. I am living. Hallelujah, lean, oh yes, safe and secure from all. Oh, I am leaning, leaning, oh, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Let's have hymn number 48. Bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, oh, waiting for the harvest. In the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the hallelujah, bringing, oh my Lord, bringing in us. Oh yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing, oh my Lord, bringing in us. Oh yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chill. Oh, by and by the harvest, in the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the hallelujah, bringing in. Oh, my Lord, bringing in us. Oh, yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Oh, my Lord, bringing in the sheaf. Oh, yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the Lord sustained our spirit of woe, when our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the hallelujah, bringing in the, oh, bringing in the, oh yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the shame, bringing in the, oh yes, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Amen. Let's sing 161. It's A flat. Nations are breaking, Israel's awaking, the signs that the prophet foretold. The Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon we learn. Hallelujah, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with our spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem restoring, a national life long dethroned. Today she is calling, her latter rains are falling, return all disperse to you. Hallelujah, the day of redemption, yeah. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and men are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is now. Hallelujah, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spends God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles live. Hallelujah, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lips trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
Shalom, saints. Good to be here this evening. God bless each and everyone. Good to see Sister Anne. God bless you there, Sister. Brother Alex, Brother Enoch, God bless you, saints, and everybody is here this evening. Let's open our Bibles straight away. Thank you, Brother James, for singing. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. I'm glad ours isn't. Amen. It's grace. It's because He lives in your heart. That's why it doesn't fail for fear. Let's open to the book of Habakkuk. A very familiar scripture from the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. And I will just get my slides here. Chapter 2, let's read verse 2 and 3. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Mm-hmm. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So anything which comes out of the mouth of the Lord will come to pass. It will never fall to the ground without coming to the fulfillment. Revelation chapter 18, let's read 21 to 24. Revelations 18, 21 to 24. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and the musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that was slain upon the earth. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Now guide our meditations, Lord. Even as David said, we long for the thoughts, Lord, of our hearts, the meditations to be acceptable before thee now, Lord. May you help us and guide us and lead us and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's be seated, saints. God bless you this evening. It's pretty warm in here.
Yes.
Okay, so we wanted to have a look at answering a question. It's a very good question. I just need to share my screen first. It's a very, very good question. And it will, if the Lord will help us to glean a few good spiritual principles along the way. That's what we're wanting to do. Okay, so once it... Okay, so we are looking at the earthquake prophecy, which is, it's a real message question about Billy Paul and the prophecy concerning the sinking of Los Angeles. You know, that he would still be alive when the sharks were swimming in Los Angeles. So there's a question about it. And the question is, people used to say, the prophet said that before Billy Paul gets old, Los Angeles would sink. However, Billy Paul is now gone to be with the Lord. Does it mean the prophecy failed? You know, so it's... I'm so surprised this one didn't come up a long time back, you know. I was always waiting for people to ask this because when Brother Billy Paul passed away, I thought there was going to be a deluge of people asking that question. But there wasn't. I was really surprised by that. I think people really got a good understanding of things before. But I think it's a very good question and we need to answer it. And in answering that question, we want to just understand some principles. So the first thing, if you're going to answer a question, the first thing we need to look at is, is it scriptural? Like for Los Angeles to sink, is that scriptural? Because we have to bring everything back to a scriptural basis. Everything has to be covered in the word. You can't just have a prophet, no matter who he is, coming and giving a prophecy, a major prophecy like that, which isn't scriptural. Because God doesn't do things like that. God always seals things away beforehand. And leading up to any major prophetic event, if you go back to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, Jesus prophesied it. It had been spoken by the prophets. It was confirmed in many ways as it led up to the event. It wasn't something that was just said once and then just suddenly happened. It's like the Lord dealing with you in your life. You know, the Lord, he prepares your heart for something. If the Lord has something for you, he doesn't just drop it on you suddenly. Now, he prepares your heart. You'll find you start getting, he tunes you into that frequency, and then the event comes and you're prepared for it because the Lord wants his people to be prepared for something. So if this, which the prophet spoke of about Los Angeles sinking, is a real prophecy, it should have a scriptural backing because anything which we take, what have you got to do? We got to take it back to the Urim and Thummim. Any dream, any vision, any revelation that came forth, You have to take things back to the Urim and Thummim in the Old Testament. If you had a dream or a revelation, you would take it now, or a vision, to the temple, and they would take out from the breastplate the stones, the Urim and Thummim. You would say your dream. If that supernatural light flashed, the dream was of God. If there was no supernatural light flashing and it wasn't of God, no matter how anointed it might have seemed, no matter how powerful the dream or the vision or the revelation may have been, but God wasn't giving a divine vindication, was from Him. And in the message, the prophet every single time says, the Urim and Thummim now is here. You know, so everything's got to flash through the scripture. Now, any prophecy, any major thing, obviously something individual about somebody's life. That's the mystery of your individual life. But things pertaining to the age, you know, the major events, the modern events made clear by prophecy and so forth, we've got to be able to take them back through the word. We've got to have a scriptural basis. You know, no matter how much we don't want to do that, many people in the message, but everything must go through the word. This is the absolute. And we'll see it, that that is a very scriptural vision. That's what gives us confidence. You know, we know many people attack the message and attack the prophet's visions and that these days. But what always gives me more and more confidence is when you take things back to the word, and you'll find that every one of these prophecies, every one of these things that comes with the seals, the ages, the trumpets, the vials, whatever he preached upon, you can take it back and comb it through the word. Like he said, the prophet says, when the things opened up, the Bible became a new book, because it shines light on the scripture. But we are a word bride. We are built on the foundation, the solid rock of revealed truth. So it's got to be in symbol form or whatever form. We've got to find it here in the scripture. Might be in shadow, might be in type. But everything which we believe, we've got to be able to take it back to the word. Then at least we have a good basis to build upon. So we want to bring this to the Urim and Thummim. In the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there are so many scriptures concerning earthquakes in the last day. You know, you can just get your concordance or search your Bible app, go and look for earthquakes, a mighty earthquake, great earthquake, you're going to find many of them. We're living in Laodicea. Laodicea, the city of Laodicea, which our age was typed by, that ancient city in Asia Minor, was struck with frequent major earthquakes. Yeah, it was. And finally, the city was abandoned because of earthquakes, because it just shook the city down. And the prophet says it in the Church Age book, that's why Laodicea was chosen as the city to correspond to our age, the last age, because he says this last age is going to be shaken at the end. Paul says everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And you go and read in the Bible, in the Church Ages, if you read it, Revelation series, Revelation 4 verse 5, let's just read that just to show the scriptural basis that there's got to be earthquakes. Jesus told us there'll be earthquakes. But when you get to the book of Revelation, it starts narrowing things down to the end time to show us that these are things that we should be expecting. And if we should be expecting it, then you find a prophet rises up with prophetic utterance and comes now and says, this is that, and points you to what was prophesied in symbols and that. But now in due season, God raises up something to show this is the time for this now. So Revelation 4 verse 5, it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Oops, sorry, I think I put the wrong scripture there. What is it? Revelation 4 verse 5. It's the one where there's the earthquake. Okay, skip that one for now. We'll come back to it. Revelation 6 verse 12. I put the wrong scripture on there. Revelation 6 verse 12. The interesting thing when you get on past the church ages to the seals, when you get to the sixth seal, which is these two scriptures we're going to look at now, what opens up the sixth seal? Who knows what the sixth seal is? The sixth seal is the what seal? It's the judgment seal. If you read your seals book, the sixth seal is the tribulation period. That's when his wrath is. It's the wrath of the Lamb. And how does it start? Revelation 6 verse 12, it says, and behold, when he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. So right at the beginning, when the tribulation's opening up, we expect an earthquake at that time. There's going to be an earthquake. But if you read Revelation 8 verse 5, just a couple of chapters after, when it speaks of the trumpets now, the seventh seal coming into the trumpets, Revelation 8 verse 5, and The angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You know, so you'll find that it continues on. Keep going. I'll put the scriptures there. You can look at them yourself. Under the trumpets, the seventh trumpet. Under the vials, the seventh vial. There's a great earthquake. So the scripture speaks of there's an earthquake at the beginning of the tribulation. But then the big earthquake that shakes everything down is at the end. Remember it says even the Mount of Olives will cleave in two when there's a great earthquake. And a third of the city will fall. And that's when Christ comes. So earthquakes are a very significant part of the prophecy of this age. Now they're things which you must be looking for. So for a prophet to come and speak of an earthquake, of a city sinking because of an earthquake, it's in a concept is absolutely right. We should be expecting those kind of things. Yeah, and the Lord always, I like the testimony of Brother Biskell when he says in the 1940s when he first, you know, got saved and the message was just starting. He speaks about, if you listen to that testimony of his, I'm a witness. He says about the spiritual condition of the world at that time, how the Lord brought such a spirit, a prophetic spirit among the churches. And there was such miraculous taking place. And God created an atmosphere that a prophet could step into. Because what good was a prophet coming with all of this about the supernatural to bring a rapturing faith in, you know, the greater promises of the Bible? What good is a prophet coming to a group of people falling half asleep? You don't believe in the miracles and so forth. God prepares a people for the word and has a word for the people. So at that time, there was the outpouring. There was the former rain. There was a great revival. It's like the atmosphere. And you listen to the testimonies that people lived at that time. The atmosphere of the world was drenched with revival. You could just go and put up a tent, start preaching in America. Crowds would come. Miracles would take place. It was, but now look how things have dried up now. You know, that's seasons passed us by of the former rain. But just to show you that God always has to bring a spirit to prepare the people for the things that are to come. And you will see it with the prophet. That's exactly what takes place. In Matthew chapter 27, it speaks of the great earthquake when Jesus was on the cross. Yeah, and this earthquake when Jesus was on the cross was an end of a dispensation. Because when Jesus died, it says it in Matthew 27:50, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Yeah, and he yielded up the ghost. He died. It was finished. And the next verse says, the veil of the temple was rent in two. What does that signify? It's the ending of a dispensation. Yeah. The dispensation of the law, the temple and so forth is being rent. It's done away. We're coming into a new dispensation. It was now moving from the Jews to the Gentiles now. That old system was being abolished, had been fulfilled in Christ. So the veil was rent. And in the same verse it says, and the earth did quake. And the rocks rent. So the earthquake signifies a great change of dispensation. Amen. You know, so if you're going back to the sixth seal, when the tribulation period, there's going to be an earthquake at the beginning that finishes the time of the Gentiles. It's a change of dispensation once again. And now the gospel goes back to the Jews. It's Joseph has got to reveal himself to his brothers in, you know, during the time of the tribulation. So these things are very significant. You know, they're not just someone plucking a prophecy out of the air. You know, it's got to be in continuity with the program of God, continuity with the day and the time that you're living in. So it says in Matthew 27, if you've got your Bible open, verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. The next verse is, and the graves were opened. Amen. Now it was a resurrection. Mm-hmm. So all of the bride from the Old Testament now, the earthquake came. It was judgment time. How was it judgment time when Jesus was on the cross? The fullness of judgment was being poured out upon him. It was a time of judgment now. The prophet preaches it in the sixth seal and says, this sixth seal happened when Jesus was on the cross. Amen. Now this judgment, Jesus was judged for us. It was a time of divine judgment and the earth shakes. And at that time, the graves are opened and all of the Old Testament saints come out of the grave. So when we're coming back to where we are now, we're expecting Revelation 6 before this, the tribulation seal. We don't go into the tribulation. So there's an earthquake at the beginning. The graves are opened like in Matthew 27, and the bride, not the dead in Christ, shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So we can expect the parallel in our age, because it's the season of time that we'll, and the prophet preaches it in the rapture message. The shout, the voice, the trump. We're living in that day. We're living in that age. So these earthquakes are like, in the seals, the tribulation period, they're like bookends, both sides of the tribulation period. There's an earthquake starts the tribulation, then a great earthquake finishes at the end. So you can see these things are very, very scriptural, and they've got a big significance behind them if they're prophetic. Now you find a lot of earthquakes are earthquakes. I see there were earthquakes today in Iran. I know in San Andreas Fault, the last couple of days, it's been continuously growling with earthquakes. Very unusual times. Now, these are signs of the times. But they mean something. So for a prophet to come just out of the blue and say, Los Angeles is going to sink, people can question that if you don't really know the credentials of a prophet. That when you start bringing it back to the word, looking at your day, looking at the time we're living in, what does Jesus say about this time? He said there'll be earthquakes in place after place. What is this, the scripture? Where are we in the dispensation of time? We're about to change dispensations from the times of the Gentiles back now to Israel. You can see we absolutely should be expecting a big event to take place. No, so you can place it in the scripture. There's got to be an earthquake. Now, that doesn't tell us yet it's Los Angeles, and we need to narrow that down further. But it does give us a lot of things. So where is this earthquake going to be? What city is going to be destroyed? We've done it just recently when we did the two Babylons and the two trees and that. So in Revelations chapter 18, 17 and 18, there's the two Babylons. You know, we've spoken about it a lot recently. There's mystery Babylon, the woman sitting on the beast. That's a church, you know, dressed in scarlet. That's the Vatican, washed in the blood of the saints. They martyred 68 million down through the ages. They're mystery Babylon. And the Bible, if you read it in Revelations 18, verse 8, it tells you that that Babylon will be utterly burned with fire. Okay, so Rome, we know, is going to be burnt by fire. And I mean, that's very scriptural. You burn a witch. That's what they used to do, the prophet says in the Old Testament. That's the punishment for that kind of sorcery and so forth. So that city is burnt with fire. But the scripture we read now in Revelations 18, 21, about this other Babylon, we see an angel comes down with a millstone in his hand. And he cast the millstone into the sea and said, thus with violence shall this Babylon be destroyed. Now, there's a big difference between these two Babylons here. One's destroyed by fire, one's destroyed by water. One is something sinks into the ocean. You know, so you can see if a prophet now comes on the scene and prophet says, thus saith the Lord, Los Angeles, a coastal city where Hollywood is. We saw it recently. 60-something% of all the pornography in the world comes from there. You know, most of the abominations of the commercial world, the entertainment world, the music world, the fashions come from there. Yeah. You're not going to be surprised if God's going to say, I'm going to sort out this city, and you find a coastal city sinks under the waves. Because we've already been told in the end, Rome's going to be burned by fire, the religious Babylon, but this commercial Babylon. Read your Revelations 18. I'll just tell you the four differences. This is taken from Brother Stevie once gave me his brother's Bible, the Dake Bible, I think it was. It had it inside of there. It's very good. And the four contrasts between these two Babylons in Revelation 17 and 18. Number one, mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, is symbolic. The other Babylon is not. So one of them is spiritual. One of them is natural. Now this one has a natural city and it's got natural products and natural produce. You know, the other one, mystery Babylon, Rome, they deal in spiritual things. They're dealing in things like that. It says, one is destroyed by man. The prophet told us, thus saith the Lord, Russia will destroy Rome with an atomic weapon according to scripture in a single hour. That's exactly the scripture. So man is going to try to burn it with fire. But this other one now, it's not man, it's an angel comes down from heaven. It's God who destroys this Babylon here through an earthquake, and it slides into the sea as a millstone sinking down beneath the waves. In Revelations 18, it speaks of 30 articles of commerce in this commercial Babylon. speaks of the harpers, the pipers, the music, their trade, all the things they buy and sell. That speaks of not spiritual Babylon. And when it speaks of mystery Babylon, it didn't speak of one single commodity. Yeah. You know, because one is a religious system, one is a system headquartered in a certain place. The prophet preached the message, the invasion of the United States. And he says, Satan, when he wanted to get in here, he couldn't come in religiously at that time. There was still revival. So about 100 years ago, he says, what did he do? He set himself down in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. He says he made that his base, and from there he spread himself out through the world. And that's exactly what happened. You know, and brought, like we said, the days of Sodom upon the earth once again. So we can see, as you narrow it down, now you can see there's going to have to be an earthquake. It's going to destroy a city. And that city is going to be destroyed like a millstone being cast into the sea. You know, so when a prophet comes and says, Los Angeles, thus saith the Lord, which is the commercial center, which pours out all the filth of the world, you know, the harpers and the pipers and all the musicians and the movies, the entertainment, when he comes and he tells us, Los Angeles, you're going to sink. You're going to be at the bottom of the sea, like the last days of Capernaum, when he prophesies about it. You know, it's a very scriptural prophecy. Yeah, it's just like he's tuned in and taken the scriptures and everything and just put it together and said, okay, we're living in the time now. This is actually where it's going to happen. No, but it's not an unusual thing that he's saying here. And especially when you have a look at the time, the spirit of prophecy that was there at the time. Because again, God doesn't only speak at the end. God always speaks. He speaks to his people all the time. So even before the prophet came, the Lord was speaking to people about these things. God has always had gifts in his church. He's always had Christ has been in his bride. Yeah, when Brother Lonnie Jenkins, now if you listen to his testimony, I think I put it on here. I'm recommending it. If you go and search for his testimony, it's a tremendous four-part testimony. I love that. It's very good. If you want to understand, he got in the message 66. You want to understand how things moved and worked in that period of time, especially the charismatic move, the gifts of the Spirit. It's a very wonderful testimony. But he was in the Lutheran church. They received the Holy Ghost during that former reign, and they got gifts of the Spirit. He had a gift, very powerful gift of vision and discernment, Brother Lonnie Jenkins. And so they started in their Lutheran church, a little charismatic group. In the end, they got thrown out by the denomination because they didn't want them to exercise the gifts and all that. But one day when they were in their church, they were in Los Angeles. Imagine living in Los Angeles. So one brother comes to visit their church one day. I won't say the whole story of it, but this brother comes and sits at the back, fellowships with them. They start speaking to him after. He says, where are you fellowshipping? I said, I've been fellowshipping with Brother so-and-so. We fellowship around the message of Brother Branham. Everyone knew Brother Branham. The first question Brother Lonnie and those Lutheran charismatics asked that brother, did Brother Branham prophesy anything about Los Angeles? And they said, that brother was a bit shocked. He didn't want to answer. He thought, yeah, this is quite strong medicine to people living in Los Angeles. He said, actually, he did. He said, Los Angeles is going to sink. Lonnie Jenkins says, everybody in the room just said, praise the Lord. Amen. The brother was shocked. He says, why? He said, no, we've already had two prophecies and two dreams about Los Angeles sinking. You know, so when that prophecy was made at that time, it wasn't just something out of context that people weren't expecting. That's what I'm saying. The Lord doesn't deal with us like it. If you're in tune with the Spirit, when Jesus comes into the temple, yeah, and Simeon's expecting a baby to come into the temple. He's just waiting for the time. Then the Spirit picks him up and says, there he is. And he picks him up. Now my eyes have seen your salvation, a light to the... You see, it's got to be a continuity like this. And that's why when you look at that prophecy of the prophet, to anybody who's spiritual, to anybody who lived at that time, it was like a capstone prophecy.
That's right.
Of so much that had gone before. It was scriptural, like we've seen. So you can say, okay, this doesn't, that's the Urim and Thummim is flashing on this one here. And then what about in the body at that time? There's no real bride the way it is now. It was now, the oil was in, you know, the charismatics, the different groups with the gifts and so forth. And it flashed straight away in them. When they was told, hey, the brother prophesied about this. Amen. True. We're expecting this. The only thing which was funny in the testimony, when you listen, Brother Lonnie said to the brother, okay, what did Brother Bram said we must do? And the brother says, leave Los Angeles. They hadn't even thought of that, you know, that the place is going to sink. Leave Los Angeles. It's like if you go and read back in the time of AD 70, Jesus had prophesied 40 years beforehand that the city is going to be compassed by armies. They're going to shut you in. Yeah. And there's going to be horror. All that is written shall be visited upon this generation, he said. This will be the time of vengeance.
That's right.
He said, when you see these things coming to pass, flee. You that are in the countryside, don't come back into the city to get your things, because you'll be shut in. Because the Romans came, Vespasian first, and then Titus, and they came and they surrounded Jerusalem. They built, the Romans would do that. They would surround a city, build an earthen wall, cut all the trees down, make a wooden, you know, like a rampart at the top, and they would shut everybody and nobody could get in, nobody could get out. And Jesus had warned, he had given the prophecy 40 years before on the Mount of Olives, when he was breaking the seals and telling them what will be the sign of the destruction of the temple, what will be the sign of the end. He said to them, you know, woe unto them that are with child at the time, and those that suck, pregnant woman, you're going to have a hard time. And pray that your flight is not in the winter. Maybe he said that. It's going to be hard. So the Christians were always waiting for that. They knew the prophecy had been made 40 years before. So when the time was drawing near, and then they hear the Romans are coming out through Lebanon, through Syria, coming down, they started now to tighten their things up, girding their loins, starting to get themselves ready. And then if you go and read church history, it says at that time in Jerusalem, in the early church, about AD 68 around there, prophetic utterance rose up. You see, there was gift of prophecy and told them, leave. I've got a place for you to go across the Jordan called Pella in Jordan. It's historical. And the Christians left and they went across into Jordan, you know, which is across the Jordan River to the east of Israel. And there was a town and they went and made a settlement there. Not one Christian was caught in Jerusalem. Yeah. But the prophecy had been made 40 years before. But when the time was drawing near now the quickening of the Spirit said, the time's now. Get yourselves ready for that. So you'll always have the spirit of prophecy as well, backing things up. It's good. Like if we have a message, the spirit of prophecy that's in the bride will speak according to the message. The spirit and the prophet and the bride say the same thing. That's what it says. And they're all saying what's already in the word, the prophet says. You know, because it's a word prophet, a word bride. And that everything which we're speaking is, if you're in the spirit, that's the spirit of truth. You know, you're going to be speaking according to the frequency of your age, according to the promises of your age. When Peter got so filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he pointed straight to the scripture of Joel. Your sons and daughters, upon your sons and daughters, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your old men shall dream, young men shall dream dreams, old men shall see visions. And he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled. He points them and says, look, it was written in here. This isn't, people aren't drunk. This isn't some strange phenomena. If you knew your Bible well, you should have been expecting this. And they were expecting because Jesus told them, go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Wait there and you'll receive the promise of my Father. You know, so the Christians already had been ministered into a condition of preparation. Same like Noah. The Lord says, I'm going to destroy the world. But it was 120 years distant. But Noah being moved by fear. You know, there was such a revelation, such a reality. You know, he prepared an ark to the saving of his household. The flood never took Noah by surprise. Never took his family by surprise. The Lord had prepared them for that event. And then as the time drew near, they just drew closer and closer and closer. And the Lord said, go in now. And the Lord allowed them. Then he closed the door. And that's exactly like us. We should be like that. Every parable that Jesus told about his second coming, he told people one thing. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Then he gives a parable of the foolish virgin. He gives a parable of the master going away, coming back, and the servants have abused the talents and so forth. He warned people. He said, be careful. This day doesn't take you unawares. But it doesn't have to, because there's oil for the age. There's eye cell for the age. so that we can be quickened to the promises, the conditions, and the expectation of what is to come. He doesn't want us to be children of the night, that these things take us by surprise. We're children of the day. You know, we know who we are, we know what's to come. And as things draw near, the more and more quickening inside of your soul, telling you just walk a little bit closer because the time is drawing near. So there is really the spirit of prophecy in these things. Now, I want to just get on to this one. I think this particular topic, we'll have to do over two sessions because you're not going to have time for in one. That's, I thought, maybe to put a foundation today to show how scriptural this principle is. And then secondly, to show in the body of Christ, the spirit of prophecy, that this is something which is very, very, to those people before us that were in the spirit, this is something which they were expecting, something they were looking for. Then next week, we look at it in the message terms. We look at what did the prophet actually say about this? And then we get on to Billy Paul, what he said about the sharks and whatever, he won't die before. Okay, we'll get on to that and see, okay, how does that all fit in? But I think just to build a bit of a background to show the context of things is an important thing. So I want to speak about this boy prophet from Armenia. We've spoken of it once before. This is taken, I put the book there. It's a very good book. This book is the life of Demas Shakarian. You know, anyone knows the message? Demas Shakarian, he was the man who started the Full Gospel Businessmen's International. I remember when I went to one, when I first became a believer, to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting in Zimbabwe. It was very, very interesting, you know, some of the things that took place there. But it was a businessman thing. And there was a man, he was an Armenian man by descent. His grandfather had come across from Armenia, Demas Shakarian, and he started the Full Gospel Businessmen. And it was, Brabham says, the only avenue he had at the end of getting the truth out, preaching to people. So that's how you read. This is his life story. But we're not really interested in him because he's not so important in the story. It's how they got to Los Angeles, because Demas Shakarian lived in Los Angeles. Yeah, so I just want to show that, and then we'll finish with this thought. We'll really trace this story of how his grandfather and them came from Armenia to Los Angeles, and then what's happened to them since then. Because it'll help us maybe understand that this one of Los Angeles and earthquakes, it's not something which Christians don't know about. You know, they really, really do. So this young boy, his name was Ephraim Klubinikin. There was a Pentecostal move in Armenia in the 1850s. 1840s, 1850s. It was like an Azusa Street before Azusa Street. It's a very powerful one. And the Armenian believers in certain regions, they really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they had the gifts of the Spirit. They had tongues and interpretation. Yeah, and they thought everybody had it, but only later on when they left and went to Los Angeles, when they got there in 1905, 1906, they went to Azusa Street and they found, oh, we're not the only people that have this. Mm-hmm. But God had already visited. There was a very, very interesting, these are rural people, uneducated people living in Armenia, which this Armenia at this time now, it's all been taken over by Turkey. So it's like East Turkey there, that area there, like where Paul was, Tarsus and those kind of places. But the Holy Ghost came and visited these people. So I'm reading from that book now, this book, The Happiest People on Earth. It says, his name was Ephraim Klubinikin, and he had a remarkable history. He was of Russian origin. His family had been among the first Pentecostals to come across the border, settling permanently in Armenia in a town called Karakala. From his earliest childhood, Ephraim, this young boy, had shown a gift for prayer, frequently going on long fasts, praying around the clock. You know, so this young man, he really, really had an experience with God when he was young. And many times he would go for all nights. He'd have his all nights by himself. And he had shut himself in fast. The burden of the Lord would come upon him while he was a young boy. When he was 11 years old, that's the time we're looking at, 1853. He was an 11-year-old boy. When he was 11 years old, he heard the Lord calling him again to one of his prayer vigils. He felt the burden. He told his parents, the Lord's calling me to a time of consecration and prayer once again. This time, he persisted for 7 days and nights. He didn't eat, he only drank. He didn't sleep for 7 days and nights because the Spirit of the Lord came so strongly on this young boy, an 11-year-old boy. And he sat at the table. And during this time, he received visions. The Lord started to show things to him. Now, he could neither read nor write. They don't have school. You know, he was just working with his dad on the farm. Yet, as he sat in that little stone cottage in Caracalla, he saw a vision before him of charts and a message in a beautiful handwriting. But he couldn't read it because he couldn't read. He just saw these images coming of this beautiful handwriting. He started to see charts and maps and so forth being presented to him while he was in the realm of vision. So he asked his parents for a pen and a paper. And for 7 days, sitting at the rough plank table where the family ate, he laboriously copied down the form and shapes of the letters that he was seeing and the diagrams that passed before his eyes. When he had finished, the manuscript was taken to the people in the village who could read. It turned out that this illiterate child had written out in Russian characters a series of instructions and warnings. So it was perfect Russian instructions about what they should do and warnings. And the warning was, the message was, at some unspecified time in the future, every Christian in Caracalla would be in terrible danger. He foretold a time of unspeakable tragedy for the entire area when hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children would be brutally murdered. The time would come, he warned, when everyone in the region must flee. They must go to a land across the sea. Okay? Although he had never seen a geography book, the boy prophet drew a map when he was in the spirit, showing exactly where the fleeing Christians were to go. Like I'm saying, when they were in Jerusalem, the Lord told them, I've got a place for you, go to Pella. You know, there's always, the Lord always is one step ahead. He says to Elijah, Elijah, I've prepared a widow woman for you. You know, there's a place that I want you to go. There's always a place. And so he's saying, the people will say, okay, where are we going to go if we have to flee? I mean, we've just been here for generations and generations. And the Lord had provided. And this young man had drawn the maps. So, to the amazement of the adults, the body of water that he drew depicted so accurately on his drawings wasn't the nearby Black Sea or the Caspian Sea or even the Mediterranean Ocean, but the distant Atlantic Ocean. It actually drawn perfectly the Atlantic Ocean between Europe and America. There was no doubt about it, nor about the identity of the land on the other side. The map plainly indicated the east coast of the United States. But the refugees, according to the message, were not to settle down there. The prophecy continued. They were to continue traveling until they reached the west coast of America. There, the boy wrote, God would bless them and prosper them, cause their seed to be a blessing to the nations. So in due season, something was going to come, and the Lord would tell them, now's the time to go. And when they went, they knew where they had to go. And when they got there, the Lord would bless them. Now, when eventually it happens, I'll explain how it happened. When Demas Shakarian's grandfather now, he was there at the time when they had to flee, and they went to America and they went across to Los Angeles. The Lord so blessed them that Demas Shakarian's grandfather had the biggest dairy farm in the world. Imagine these poor people coming across. The Lord so much blessed them. And that's unfortunately where the full gospel business got into its prosperity stuff, because they really were blessed. The Lord blessed them in this new land which he had prepared for them. But we'll get on to it just now. There was a second vision at the same time. A little later, Ephraim also wrote out a second prophecy. Okay, let's speak about this first one out just for first. Let me get on to this, because the second one has bearing to do with Los Angeles and the earthquake. You know, so it's very interesting to see. So, I'll just skip a little bit. So, trouble immediately. This was, imagine the time he had prophesied this, 1853. It goes all the way through the 1850s, 1860s, 1870s, 1880s, 1889. Nothing happens. Yeah. Now people are saying this young boy, false prophet, false prophecy. Can you see? We had a prophet in 1965 said Los Angeles is going to sink.
That's right.
Can you see what I'm saying? We have the same kind of thing. It's going to run the gauntlet of the hall of critics. And people say, it hasn't happened. He's a false prophet and all of these kind of things. That's how we read the book of Habakkuk at the beginning. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. It shall speak. It won't tarry. And when it tarries, it's grace. So it goes all the way through to the 1890s. And in the 1890s, it says, trouble started between the Muslim Turks who had taken control and the Christian Armenians. And it started to grow in intensity. In August 1896, a Turkish mob murdered more than 6,000 Armenians in the streets of Constantinople, Istanbul. But the people in the village, many of them didn't have oil in the lamp. It says, but Constantinople is far away. Years have passed since the giving of the prophecy. You know, the people say, we don't have to worry about anything. It just says in the book here that how many prophecies in the Bible came to pass hundreds of years after they were given. Yeah, but when the time of the promise is drawing near, the Lord will quicken and confirm His promise. And if you are the wise virgin, when the voice comes, behold, the bridegroom comes, you're going to trim your lamp and you're going to be ready to go. But there's going to be a foolish virgin. Ah, they fall asleep. Ah, it's too much effort. Ah, this year, how do we trust this young boy? How do we trust his prophecy? So, many of them believed. Imagine, even among the Christians of that village, many of them believed such genuine prophetic gifts had ceased with the completion of the Bible. Imagine God raised up a gift in their midst that was so precise for their deliverance, and so many people missed it. Because they didn't believe that God could speak specifically and directly. When has God changed, friends? How does He change His nature? God wants to direct you specifically and individually. He wants to direct me specifically. And He's always on time and He knows exactly what needs to be done. We can't make Him some vague God of the past who used to speak to people in specifics and now He doesn't speak anymore. But that was the fatal mistake these people made. And then a little after the turn of the century, so we're now 50 years later. Just now we're getting into 1900, just over, just coming to the time of Azusa Street. A little after the turn of the century, Ephraim announced the time was near. Because the Lord had given him three signs to look out for. One, there'd be a revival in the midst of the village, and that came with the Pentecostal move. Number two, there would be a light in the heavens that shone brightly until people could even read at night. There was a comet that came at that time. Can't remember the third one. The third one had something to do with the people. And he found those three things lined up and then he told them, the time has come. Go back and read. This is what the Lord told us. When these three things come to pass, we need to flee. We need to go now. So, he announced the time was near for the fulfillment of the words he had written nearly 50 years before. We must flee to America. All who remain here will perish. Here and there in Caracalla, Pentecostal families packed up, left the holdings that had been their ancestral possessions time out of mind, and Ephraim and his family are among the first to go. That's the wise virgin. They went in. When the door was open, the chance was there, off they went. As each group of Pentecostals left Armenia, they were jeered by those who remained behind. They were mocked. Like Noah, what are you doing? Building an ark. It's never rained. Ah, yeah. They were jeered when they left by those who remained. But skeptical and disbelieving folk, including many Christians, refused to believe that God could issue pinpoint instructions for modern people in a modern age. Yay. So when a prophet comes in Los Angeles, if I was living there, I'd get out. Yeah. The time's going to come. Yeah. But the instructions proved correct. In 1914, a period of unimaginable horror arrived for Armenia. This is called the Armenian Genocide. You go and read about it. With remorseless efficiency, the Turks began the bloody business of driving two-thirds of the population out into the Mesopotamian desert. There they are. They rounded up the Armenians. You see them there? And the soldiers came and drove everybody into the desert to perish. Men, women, children. And there were horrors as well. They put people in churches, told them, started, lit the church, closed the doors. If you'll convert to Islam, we'll open the doors. And I was like, just burnt entire villages and stuff. Go and read about it. It's called the Armenian Genocide. It's a horrific thing that took place. Over a million men, women, and children died in these death marches, including every inhabitant of Karakala. Every single person that stayed behind perished in that horror. Not one person survived. The only people that survived were the people that heard the prophetic utterance, that were quickened in their souls, sold their things and fled while there was time. It's interesting. Wow. Friends, your life can depend on a lot of things. Just that simplicity of hearing, receiving, obeying, can your destination can hinge on that. Another 500,000 were massacred in their villages in a pogrom that was later to provide Hitler with his blueprint for the extermination of the Jews. The world did not intervene when Turkey wiped out the Armenians, Hitler said. It won't intervene now when we do it to the Jews. People just said, this allowed 1.5 million men, women, children, just because they were Armenian. And the Turks wanted to take their land. The Muslims wanted to take their land. It was a great, great massacre. Now, as we finished, there was a second vision, a second prophecy. Remember we said there was a second one? While they were still there, when he was still a young boy. So he wrote a second prophecy to dealt with the still more distant future. So it was beyond the first crisis when the people were going to go to America, they were to go to Los Angeles, they were settled down, the Lord is going to bless them. And now there was another prophecy for that time. It dealt with the still more distant future when the people would once again have to flee. Mm-hmm. So the people living in Los Angeles, where the Lord's told them become prosperous, a time's going to come when they're going to have to flee. Amen. So if you go and tell those people, those Armenians, you know, brother actually said Los Angeles is going to sink. They're not going to be surprised. They're going to say, well, I'll tell you what's happened to those people anyway as we finish. But Ephraim asked his parents to seal the prophecy in an envelope. Where I heard about this, first of all, is Brother Perry Green. If you listen to him, he actually spoke this. Because when he was alive, he heard about it. And listen to what it says. He asked his parents to seal this prophecy in an envelope and repeated the instructions he had received from the Lord concerning it. He had been told in his vision that only a future prophet chosen by the Lord for this task could open the envelope and read the prophecy. Anyone else opening the envelope before its time would die. And two people tried and died since then. Yay! And Perry Green so much wanted to get a hold of them while the prophet was still alive to say, there's a prophet, you need to give him the envelope. Because he knew the envelope's going to say the same thing as that prophecy, you know? Well, many people in Karakala smiled at these things. Ah, you know, they never really took it seriously. Now, if you bring things up to date, I know Brother Perry spoke about it. I also researched as much as I could. Those Armenian people, most of them have now left and gone to Argentina. I don't know how. Somebody got that envelope opened or whatever it was. But they left Los Angeles. They left California and they've gone to Argentina. So there's future time they're going to have to flee. So you can see that in the spiritual realm, in the divine frequency, are people that are in tune with the Lord. People that have got the Spirit and you know, can hear the voice of the Lord, have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. A prophecy concerning Los Angeles isn't going to surprise them. Yeah. Especially people that it pertains to. The prophet, when he did it, we'll get on to it next time when you speak about the message. He prophesied it in choosing of a bride while he was preaching in Los Angeles. Right there in Los Angeles, that's when the prophecy came forth to say, you're going to sink. It's going to be like the last days of Pompeii. Yeah, but Alex McKenney sent me a thing too. It was very interesting that the Pope, his first anniversary, I think it was yesterday or that day before, he decided his first anniversary, where did he want to go? He went to Pompeii. And Brother Alex said to me, and he sent me today, Brother Alex, this afternoon, the prophecy from choosing a bride of Pompeii, of Los Angeles sinking as it was in the last days of Pompeii. I sent him back the thumbnail of today. I said, this is what you said. He said, bro, something's going on here. This is really interesting. But that prophecy, the prophet made it when he was in Los Angeles. And when he made that prophecy, when you're going to hear the testimony of the people that were there at that meeting, they say the repentance that took place afterwards, how the altar and the people, there was such, the atmosphere was so saturated by the Holy Ghost, the people stayed at the altar crying out because they realized, but yay, not just because it was a sudden something that came unexpectedly from a prophet, but it was already in the spiritual realm, things building up to that stage. So all we're waiting for now, we don't know what about that envelope. We don't need that envelope. And we don't live in Los Angeles. You know, we have prophecy on a far greater scale. You know, the warnings of the scripture to us are speaking about missing the rapture, you know, or being caught up. Let's finish up with Luke chapter 21, just to show what Jesus says when he speaks of the condition. These are the kinds of things that we need to be walking in the spirit of, like Noah, when we spoke of him the other day. So in Luke chapter 21, Jesus is showing the people what to do from verse 20. Because, you know, Jesus is very specific. They ask him three questions. Where do these questions come from? He's fellowshipping with his disciples. He's in Jerusalem. They say to him, Master, wow. Look at these buildings, the temple. Yeah. Oh, they're not beautiful. And then Jesus says, I tell you, brothers, you may love this world and all this lights and all the glitter and the whatever, but not one stone is going to be left upon another. And that shocked them. So they go up in the evening time to the Mount of Olives, and they're sitting on the Mount of Olives at the evening time, overlooking Jerusalem. And Jesus starts to unveil the mystery now. He starts to break the seals. And you'll find all seven seals are in his discourse when he's there. So, and now we're living in the evening time. You know, it's a similar pattern to things being broken to us in this age. But verse 20, so he tells them, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know the desolation thereof is nigh. He was very specific about a city. He told this Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And there's going to be a sign. When you see the sign come to pass, you need to flee. When you see the armies coming to encompass it. If you read Josephus, the Romans actually came once and trapped everybody, and the Christians were still there. And then there came some messenger who told them, withdraw, and they withdrew, and the Christians fled, and then they came and they closed the city. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. So he's speaking very specific about AD 70, and telling them, you must flee. Let them which are on the midst of it in Jerusalem depart out, get out of there. And let not them that are in the countries enter. If you're living out in the countryside, don't go into Jerusalem. Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance. These are the days of judgment. That all things that are written may be fulfilled upon Jerusalem. But woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, Israel, and wrath upon this people. Very specific to Israel, that part of the prophecy, upon this people. Verse 24, and they, Israel, shall fall by the edge of the sword. So these Romans are going to come, destroy the city, take the people captive, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Exactly happened to the Romans, took them slaves into all the nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. They'll be under the possession of the Gentiles, not the Jews, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's how we know we're living in the end time, because Jerusalem is not in the hands of the Gentiles anymore. 1948, it went back into the hands of Israel. That's why Israel is the end time sign. That it's a sign of the ending of the times of the Gentiles. The church ages are the times of the Gentiles. So there's going to be a change of dispensation soon. And we saw it. What is the sign of a change of dispensation? Is the earthquake. Yeah. Is the resurrection, the rapture. That's the changing of the dispensation. So now he was making them be alert there. He says, verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Look at where we're getting to. Yay. Such a confusion. The sea and waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yeah. And then he gives the final warning. Verse 34. Take heed to yourselves. He says, watch over yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting is just filling yourself up too much McDonald's, filling yourself up too much entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's surfeiting. Your hearts get overloaded, overburdened with just the riches, the cares, entertainment. He says, be careful, people. Yes. And drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. He says, and then you don't realize. Then when the prophet says, you need to head to America now, he's, we're going to stay here. Because you're not in tune. You're not walking in the Spirit. Your vessel isn't filled with oil. You're not trimming your lamp. You used to have oil, but your oil's run out. For as a snare, verse 35, shall it come on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. A snare is something when an animal gets trapped in it, he can't get out again. The tribulation, when these things happen, it's ta, never goes back to what it was again. Verse 36, watch ye therefore, be vigilant, pray always. Yeah, be prayerful, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You see, people fall asleep and say, if I'm predestinated and all of that, but they don't read what Jesus said. He said, if you're predestinated, it's good, but pray. Right. Stay in the Spirit. Be led, quickened. When the Lord speaks, listen to what He's saying, and He'll take care of everything else. So next week, by the grace of God, we'll have a look at, firstly, the message basis now, to show the prophet bringing the specifics into these prophecies now, putting the details into the prophecy. And then we'll have a look at Billy Paul and what he said about him not being an old man before the sharks were swimming in Los Angeles. I think it'll be good. But you can really just see the background of what we're saying, that there's a context to these things. You know, there's the signs of the times. There's the condition of the day. There's the spirit of the age. And we just desire to be in the spirit of Christ at this junction in time. Let's stand, since it's finished there. Let's just bow our heads. Father, as we thank you for your grace, we thank you for your mercy. We know, Lord, that it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by your Spirit. And we just want to be led of thee. We just want to have oil in our lamps, Lord. Father, we just want to come unto him that purchased the oil for us. And we just want to come, Lord, to buy without money and without price. And Lord, that you may fill us with the Spirit of truth, with the Spirit of grace, with the Spirit of prophecy. That, Father, we might walk with you, that we may walk as Enoch did, Father, with you in this age. Father, help us. Lord, this age, it's like Delilah. It would lull us to sleep. May you help us to watch, Lord. May you help us to be vigilant. May you help us, Lord, to, Father, Lord, gird up our loins at times, to lay aside the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. And Father, to set our faces like that young boy prophet, Lord, when your burden would come upon him and he'd consecrate himself and get so in tune with you that you'd reveal to him, Lord, his day and his message. So you help us as well, we pray. Pray for each person represented here today, Lord. So glad to see Sister Anne. Please, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to quicken and strengthen and help her. And Father Denzel as well, we pray, Lord, that you'll quicken him. Father, even Lord, our Sister Rancher's mum, Lord, we pray for her. We bring these things before thee according to your promise, Lord, that you may manifest yourself, show yourself strong and be glorified, we pray. And bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, saints.
Let's sing 168, Where He Leads Me. F. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior. We are calling. I can hear myself. We are calling. Take my cross and follow me. Oh yes, where He leads me,
glory.
way he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, oh, with him, all the way. Amen. Let's sing hymn 44, E flat. God leads us along. Hymn 44, E flat. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along.
Where the wolves...
No, my musicians sort of... You know, it's fine, but I think it's just the keys. Yes, yes. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters could flow but the weary ones feed, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. We don't know this one. Okay, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. Let's finish by glorifying God. 51, A flat.
Amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior, hallelujah, down where for cleansing from sin I go, there to my heart was the blood up, still singing glory to his oh glory, glory, glory to his name. Oh yes, glory. Hallelujah, glory to his name. Oh yes, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Oh yes, Jesus so sweetly hung, oh, there the cross way to me. Hallelujah, glory to him. Oh, glory, glory, glory to his name. Oh, yes, glory to his name. Oh, yes, there to my heart was the blood. I'm still singing glory. His name, oh yes, oh precious fountain that saved rooms. Oh, I am so glad I entered in. Oh, there Jesus saves me and keeps me. I'm still singing glory to him. Oh, glory, glory. Glory to his name. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to his name. For there to my heart was the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Oh, yes, come to this fountain that reaches. Oh, yes, cast out for soul at the Savior. Oh, hallelujah, plunge in today and be made home and singing glory to him. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Pray to his name. Oh, yeah. heart was the blood up, still singing glory to His name. Bless your saints online. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Church.
Sorry, it's left. Oh, it's gone. Sorry. Because everyone like leaving. You know?